Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Joe Baia, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here's Joe. The following is an encore presentation of Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, recorded earlier this year.
Thank you for joining us today. And as long as the FCC will allow me to broadcast, I am going to talk about this next subject, and that's tree stand safety. In 2004, I fell out of a tree stand and nearly lost my life. And it's something that is I'm passionate about. I want people to think about this as they get into the field this fall. So today we've got John Widener on the phone with us. John is the co-founder of Hunter Safety Systems. And John, I want you to talk a little bit today about your experience with tree stand accidents.
Sure. Well, I tell you, it's that time of year again. Everybody, when they get ready to start the season off, you know, there's a lot of things we need to be doing. I mean, everybody's interested in putting their stands up and getting ready for the season. Well, I remember, it's been about 18 years ago now, and I'd climbed up in a tree, went out that morning early before daylight and got up in my tree stand, did not take my safety harness. I had it with me, but didn't take it because it was dark and I didn't have time to put it on. It was a tangled mess back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose not to use it, which almost was fatal in my situation. So I climbed up and got in my tree stand. And I remember when I was climbing up, there was like this huge rock at the base of the tree I was on. And I thought to myself, well, that's a nice step to step up on, you know, as I climb. And I went ahead and climbed, and I got up in my tree stand. And that morning I was lucky. I killed a deer, and I turned around to get down. And when I did, my stand fell out from under me and went all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, I fell through my climber, but I was strong enough back then. I actually caught the climber with my left hand. I had my gun in my right hand. And I was sitting there hanging, and I looked down, and I thought to myself, I almost hit that rock down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to realize at that point, it really sent a shock wave through me, and I realized, I just got to looking death right in the eye. Because I know if I'd hit that rock, either I'm dead or I'm paralyzed because I'm over 20 feet high and I'm hitting on a solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of scared me. I had to get down at that point. So I remember I put my gun up on my climber and kind of hung it up on there. And I bear hugged the tree and kind of scooted myself down. But let me tell you, that's not as easy as it sounds because you're going to rip the skin off your arm. And I remember I got about 6 or 8 feet from the ground, and I couldn't hold on anymore. And I remember I had to push myself away from the tree and away from that rock because I didn't want to hit on that rock.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit in the leaves, I just rolled and laid there, and I started thanking the good Lord. I said, Lord, thank you for not letting me die right now.
And your brother was there that day, right?
My brother was there. He was hunting about probably nearly a mile away from me, but he had his four-wheeler, and he was in a climber on the other side of the farm. And I'll never forget, I laid there for probably 15 minutes before I'd done anything. I was just thankful to be alive at that point. And, you know, anybody that ever goes through that experience, it shocks you to the point it starts to make you think. And it absolutely upset me to the point that I knew I had to do something differently. But anyway, I called my brother back then we had walkie-talkies. I called him on my little walkie-talkie. He said, bring the four-wheeler and bring your stand with you. Did not tell him what I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
When he got there, he looked up in the stand, and he saw my gun still hanging up there with my climber, and he looked at me and says, did you fall? I says, nearly. I said, and I explained what happened. And he says, well, were you wearing your harness? First words out of his mouth. And you know, when he said that, it was like somebody slapped me in the face. I said, I know better than that.
Yeah.
I knew I should have been wearing a harness, but
it
was one of those frustrating things I didn't want to fool with that morning. And I told him, I said, no, I said, I wasn't. But I said, did you wear yours this morning? And he gave me the same answer. I says, we've got to do something different.
Right.
So at that point, we spent the rest of the day talking about how are we going to put a harness in our clothing, or how can we fix a harness? Because the harnesses back then were just a tangled bunch of straps. That's all they were.
Mm-hmm.
We had to figure out a way to make them actually convenient where it's easy to put on. I can put it on in the dark. And see, that's a big problem back then because you're putting your harness on before you go out in the morning and it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a bad situation. So we decided, well, we'll put it on and sleep in it tonight, and then when we get up in the morning, we'll have it on. Well, with all that going on, you know, we kept talking about, well, we put it in our coat, we'll put it in a vest, we'll put it in our coveralls, and we kept coming back to a vest. I says, you know, it's 80 degrees out here. I don't need a coat.
Right.
And I can't put a harness, you know, with my big heavy coat. I said I wouldn't wear it anyway. So by the time I drove home, I had about a 4.5-hour drive to get back home. I'll never forget, when I left, I'm driving home, and the good Lord, God will talk to you, believe me. He'll put things in your mind that you need to be listening to. And by the time I got home, I could see that harness as clearly in my mind as if it was already made. I knew it was going to, you know, have a vest, it was going to have pockets, it was going to have a deer drag, it was going to be convenient to use, everything on it was going to be quick snap, easy buckles, all that stuff. And I got home and I told my wife what had happened, and you know, she said, "You mean you guys are climbing trees without putting your harness?" I said, "Yes, we were, and that ain't going to happen no more."
Mm-hmm.
But after I got home, I began to talk to different ones about what had happened, and I told them, I said, "I'm going to put this harness in a vest." And I got a hold of my sister-in-law. She could do some sewing, so she sat down with me, and it took her 2 weeks to sew a harness into a vest for me. And I put it on, and I was like a kid in a candy store. You know, I said, "This is the greatest thing since sliced bread." But the key to it is it became convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized right away, I says, with it being convenient, people will wear it. That's the only reason I wasn't wearing it that morning. It was not convenient for me to put it on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I know when I fell, it was actually the same scenario. I got to my tree that morning, and I had just forgotten to put my harness on. And when I got there, it was actually the first time I ever climbed in a tree without a harness on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I'd say, you know, it was a mile back to the camp, and you know, I was like, no reason to ruin a good hunt, you know, by having to go all the way back and come all the way back. And I'd been in that tree before. I felt comfortable. So, you know, I just went ahead and hunted that morning. And the biggest thing is that this time of year, it's exactly what you said earlier. People are in a hurry. They're excited. They're ready to get their tree stands up. They're ready to, you know, as we get into hunt season, they're ready to go hunt. And you forget from time to time, and it's just not worth it in this day and age. You know, going through what I went through and hearing other people's stories, is I'd gladly sit on the ground or go back to camp if I didn't have a harness. And there's really no reason to not be completely connected the moment you leave the ground until the moment you get back on the ground.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that you were talking about, the evolution of the harnesses that you guys build, really what you've done is you've turned what was a kind of a burden, you've turned it into a piece of equipment, a piece of gear that functions for many other things besides just being a harness. But the other thing that you guys make that I really like are your lifelines.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's been a big change too in tree stand safety, because most people that fall out of the tree, they fall when they're getting into or out of their tree stand.
Exactly.
And what most people do is they put their harness on, they climb up, and then they hook in to the tree, and then they unhook, and then they climb down. Well, they're not protected for the entire time that they're climbing up and down, and that's when they fall. So those lifelines really allow you to be connected 100% of the time. And not only that, I think they're easier and just more, they're more comfortable, because you just get to the tree, you hook up, everything's good to go. You don't have to navigate any limbs
exactly.
That may be on the way up. You don't have to slide it up the tree or anything like that. And one thing you said, John, that really stuck with me is your wife said to you, "You mean you guys were climbing up trees without a harness on?" And that was the biggest part of falling for me, was seeing what it did to my family. And,
exactly.
You know, that's what I urge people to think about when it comes to tree stand safety, is don't think about your hunt. Don't think about anything other than those people that care about you, and because they're the ones that are really going to suffer if you fall or you have some kind of an accident. So I applaud you guys. Y'all have done a heck of a job with tree stand safety, and it's come a long way. Is there anything new for this year with Hunter Safety Systems?
Well, of course, you know, we're always trying to improve our harnesses. And you know, I look at the first harnesses we built in the first couple of years and compare them to what we're building today, and it's like, wow, have we modernized things. You know, our new harnesses today, it's got, like, charging ports in them. It's got bino straps for your binoculars. It's got cell phone pockets to keep your cell phone in. It's got rubber-coated buckles. It's got deer drags. It's got everything is so convenient. Pockets galore, zipper pockets on a lot of it. It just depends on the model that you buy. But, again, we've tried our best to make it so comfortable and so convenient that a person wants to wear a harness rather than go out there and not have a harness on. And you're exactly right about the Lifeline. The Lifeline was a perfect marriage for harnesses because the two go hand in hand, and I don't even hunt anymore without a Lifeline. If I go out and I get in a tree, there will be a Lifeline in that tree.
You bet. I appreciate you being here today. Folks, y'all check out Hunter Safety Systems online and get yourself a harness for this season. And stick around. We're going to be talking a little bit more after the break. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for over 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available in this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure. Whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains, you'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Right now, Trotter Marine in Saraland is selling Triton and Crestliner all aluminum boats at cost, plus rigging. That's right, you can get a new Triton or Crestliner boat at their cost, plus the cost to set it up with an engine and rigging. Financing is also available for qualified buyers, so you can get your new boat with an affordable monthly payment. Trotter Marine also offers a complete line of truck accessories, including floor mats, toolboxes, rain guards, and more. Trotter Marine, Highway 43 in Saraland. Call 251-679-5959 or visit TrotterMarineLLC.com.
If you own a business in Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoor Radio Show, call 877-314-1237. Our show reaches all over Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 877-314-1237 to get all the details. That's 877-314-1237, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.
The Alabama Great Days Outdoors Tip of the Week. Every bass fisherman knows a good supply of wooden toothpicks will help you catch more fish. If you're bass fishing with a Texas-rigged worm, try inserting a toothpick in the front of the bullet weight. Once the bullet weight is tight to the fishing line, break the toothpick off. This keeps your weight from slipping down the line when you drag it over logs and stumps under the water. You won't get hung up nearly as often, and you can spend more time catching fish rather than being hung up. And catching fish is what it's all about.